If you would take a Bible and turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. What do you think of when you hear May Day? What do most people think of when they hear May Day? Help. Yeah, help. It means someone's in a crisis. Planes, boats, earthquakes, people trapped, something goes wrong. Sometimes people even refer to things that are going on in their lives, and they'll say, you know, I'm about ready to scream Mayday. It signifies trouble. It signifies danger. And that's the way it is used most of the time. I don't know about you, but I also remember another use of Mayday. When I was growing up and in elementary school, I recall that on May 1st, when we were in school, we celebrated May Day. Danced around a maypole, which, you know, guys at that age when they dance around a maypole really kind of don't want to dance around a maypole, but your teacher says everybody's got to go around it, right? And so we'd dance around the maypole. The good thing about May Day and May Day celebration was we had an extra long play period that day. So we got to miss out on some class. We danced around the maypole. We played kickball over and over and over again. We had special snacks that would be served and Kool-Aid, only it wasn't magic Kool-Aid. It was just regular Kool-Aid. It was a celebration of spring. Well, for most of us, that didn't matter. It was a celebration that we only had about a month of school left. One of the ancient European traditions, by the way, was on May 1st to go out and to wash your face with the dew that was on the grass. Seriously, on May 1st, you go out early in the morning and wash your face with the dew that was on the grass. It was supposed to make your skin more beautiful for the coming year. I guess that was before oil of Olay and all those other things. I don't know if it works or not, but it might be a cheaper solution if it does, right? In some places, though, May 1st, May Day remembrances and celebrations were held in honor of labor movements as well. In fact, in the United States, before Labor Day was officially used to remember labor and labor movements and those kinds of things, May 1st commemorated the Haymarket riot in Chicago that happened in 1886, where workers were protesting inhumane treatment in jobs. Of course, you might, if you are thinking along the lines of celebrations, I guess in some ways for some folks this would be one, you might also think of the former Soviet Union. The former Soviet Union, May Day, was a day to stand united against capitalism. May Day was a day that they had all their weapons and soldiers and rockets paraded through Red Square to show off their military might, to threaten and to scare people around the world. So you see, May Day can be used in a lot of different ways and has been. Some good, some not so good, and some signaling the need for help. So I guess how you use the term May Day, and I intentionally left a small space on the sign so that you didn't know if it was May Day or May Day, because see, it can be used both ways, may not only depend on your circumstances and your mindset, but how you use it will also affect your emotions and your ability to accomplish the things that need to be done. The psalmist was well aware of both fear and crises, and perhaps a need to shout Mayday because of the fear and the crisis, but also celebrations, celebrations of new life, but in this case, celebrations of deliverance. This particular psalm has many possibilities posited as to when it was written and why it was written. Some think that it was written after Sennacherib had tried to overthrow Jerusalem in the 8th century and was unsuccessful, and God had delivered the people, and so it was not only a cry that recognized their fear, but it was also a psalm that celebrated the fact that Sennacherib had not won and that God had delivered them. In fact, three times in this psalm, the phrase, "The Lord God of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge," is used to remind them of God's presence, but also to lift up praise and recognition of God. Others think that it was written during the time of Alexander the Great, after he died and all of his generals and captains tried to divide up his kingdom. Still others think it was part of the New Year festival at Rosh Hashanah, celebrating both God's creating in beginning, but also the fact that God had created the nation, had brought the nation of Israel together. In any case, whether it's that celebration of God bringing the nation together, or whether it is the deliverance from certain destruction by other armies, the psalmist was well aware of troubles which come into human lives in all kinds of ways, especially in our fallen world. You know, oftentimes we're unsure of what's going to happen in the world, are we not? Sometimes we are unsure of people around us. Sometimes we even become unsure of God. Things shake us up. Familiar things become shaken or they change in a drastic way. When things we plan and hope to accomplish seem to be unraveling and more difficult to do, what do we do? What do we do? When we wake up at night filled with anxiety, what do we do? What sustains us? And how do we react to those situations? Old Testament theologian from early last century, Gerhard Kittel, calls this psalm, and I quote, "the song of songs of faith," end of quote. In times of trouble, when we want to scream out, "Mayday, Mayday," God is our refuge and our strength. What's really interesting about the word that's translated here, strength, it's also the same root word for the word defense, which in many situations may be a better understanding. God is our refuge and our defense when things seem to be at the point of overwhelming us. God has proved Himself to be a very present help in times of trouble since ancient times. As one writer states, and I quote, "At the time of creation, He showed that He was and is mightier than the monsters of chaos. And He established forever His dominion over the world. Though the mountains may totter into the heart of the sea, and there are threats to submerge the ordered world and reestablish chaos, we will not fear because the Lord of hosts is with us," says the psalmist. All of these other factors assured the worshiping people that with the Lord of creation in their midst, they are more than equal to the worst imaginable catastrophes that might strike. End of quote. And while we sometimes say that and we get confidence from it when those tragedies come, especially when they devastate our lives, sometimes it's very hard to hold our heads up and to recognize that with God, we are more than equal to those catastrophes. The psalmist writes, "Additionally, nations rage and they crush other people seeking their own agendas. Kingdoms totter. The stability and the safety that once ruled supreme is threatened, is under attack. And the natural and expected reaction is what? To be afraid. Jobs are lost. Governments overrun people's rights. Politicians and business CEOs squash growth opportunities for many because of their own agendas. And sometimes we wonder, where are you, Lord? And we want to scream, Mayday, and hope that God will hear. But the psalmist recognizes and states here that the Lord of hosts is present in and through all of those circumstances. And the Lord of hosts not only will be, but is sufficient. By the way, most of the time when we think of the Lord of hosts, we're thinking of the heavenly beings. But in this particular psalm, I think that when he talks about the Lord of hosts is with us, it's not just the Lord of hosts over heavenly beings, but it's the Lord who is over all the hosts of the earth. All of us. All of creation. Not just a select few. The psalmist continues and writes, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." Now, most of the time we think that's the river that flows by the throne of God, right? As the hymn states, or as the book of Revelation, that river in heaven. But it is not that river that is spoken of here. Rather, it is the life-giving fountain of God's presence in the middle of the world, in the middle of God's people, and in the middle of all the destruction, all the worry, and all the chaos. Rivers give life. The fertile areas in ancient times in Palestine were on the seacoast and all along the Jordan River Valley, but not in other places. In Egypt, the Nile, T-H-E-N-I-L-E, not D-E-N-I-A-L, the Nile gives life. And the fertile areas of Egypt were wherever the Nile flooded and deposited the sediments. The river was seen as a place and a thing that gave life. And so in this instance, when the psalmist writes, there is a river that flows in the city of God and makes joyful that city. He is speaking here of the life-giving fountain of God's presence and God's Spirit within the world, even when it seems to be falling apart. In verses 8 through 11, the psalmist speaks confidently of that power of God. The references he makes here to desolation and wars and implements of war reminds us of who God is and what God has done and can do. Tensions in life create fear. The chaos that comes along creates worry. And those continually escalate our sense of fear and sometimes abandonment. Yet God is the one who is present and who can give us the remedy to help us to cope with tension, with worry, with all those things around us that would seem to get us down and keep us there. We try all kinds of remedies, do we not? With little real success. But the psalmist says that the only true cure begins with be still. When we find ourselves confronted with fear and we want to cry Mayday, what do we generally do? We immediately start running here and there looking, searching for something to bring us safety. The psalmist says, when all of these things in the world seem to be going on and seem to be going wrong, be still. That's tough to do in our helter-skelter world, is it not? We're constantly on the move, even when, and this isn't written in here, but we're constantly on the move even when we have these things. We become smombies, as we mentioned the other day. Smartphone zombies. We think we're all connected, and yet the connection really is not enough. The only true connection, the psalmist would tell us, is to be still and know that I am God. This isn't God, but be still and know who God is. We're to stop, we're to look, we're to listen and listen and listen. And we are to know God. It's not just to know about God. The word used here in the Hebrew is yada, which means to intimately know. And the only way you can intimately know someone is to spend time with them. To put forth the effort to do so and to have confidence. It's not just to know about God, but to know God's being and to be known in our very being. Heart, mind, spirit. But it also means that we're not just known all by myself, but rather we're known corporately too. Because we are not just individuals unto God, and when Mayday times come, it's not just about us and God as individuals. That's important and that's foundational, but it's also about us and us and God. To know deep down within our bones and with our hearts, and to be known. And so when those times of Mayday seem to come, deep down within our souls, deep down in the depths of our bones and our hearts, we need to remember first and foremost, as the psalmist states, and as we find if we really have been there and paid attention, first, God provides what we truly need to do what He's called us to do and what He wants for us in life. Now, that's not everything we want or everything we want to do. but rather what God wants for you and for me. And God provides everything we need, including time and talents and other resources, not only individually to overcome and to live that life, but corporately God provides us with the talents and the resources if we will but use them and take advantage of them. We also need to remember deep down in our bones that we have no need to be afraid. Yes, there may be some anxiety, but fear should not overcome us. That's one of the primary themes of the Bible. God rescues from exile and God provides for us to overcome fear. Mark Tidsworth writes, I quote, "Though politicians and leaders of all types choose the low road of maximizing fear, we as Christ followers are not to be afraid. When we know who we are and whose we are, then we're not afraid. We know the one who has ushered God's people through change repeatedly throughout all of the centuries. Whatever happens will not destroy us. Why? Because we know who we are together with God in Christ." End of quote. The psalmist ends that psalm. "Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge." And when we come together and know these things, and when we act accordingly, individually and corporately, our Mayday, Mayday can turn into celebration. Celebration of the newness of living in and with God. May we pray. Our gracious God, we do thank you that you're present. You're present within those times where we are anxious and worried and fearful. You're present in those times when we should celebrate. And that you provide for us the things that we need if we will but look, if we will but listen, if we will but be still. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 579, Higher Ground. As we stand and as we sing, know that our altar is open. 549, excuse me. My mistake. Our altar is open for any decision you might make. As we stand and as we sing and as we cry to God to lift us up to stand by faith on higher ground. Hymn number 549. Thank you for coming and for sharing in worship. We have many opportunities this afternoon and evening, including 6 o'clock next door. Ken was up there saying, for me to get the box. But there was a request last Sunday night when we moved forward from talking about Islam the week before, world religions, and two or three folks said, well, I thought we were going to continue to do some of that before we moved on. And someone said, yeah, we'd like to learn something like about Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and those folks. So tonight we're going to talk about Mormons, Latter-day Saints, for our 6 o'clock time. Try and get an understanding of Mormonism. So hopefully I will see you there and we can talk and I'll ask y'all all the answers, because I'm sure that you've been confronted at some point in time with the Mormon missionaries. It's like the other Sunday or the other week, I was pumping gas at an Ingles on a Saturday, and this carload of folks dressed like they were going to church on Sunday showed up. And if you were there last Sunday night, you know, a guy got out and he walked over and with a brochure in his hand. He said, I know that you've been hounded by Jehovah's Witnesses at home, but now you can say you were hounded by them at the gas pump. He handed me the brochure and got in his car and left. So, as you go, know this. There's so many things, not just out in the world, but so many things within our own lives that come and want us to scream, Mayday! Mayday! The interesting thing is, and the good news is, that God already knows about those Mayday moments. And God is standing there waiting to lift us up so that our cry of Mayday in anxiety might become a celebration, a May Day, celebrating God's goodness and newness springing in our lives. So when you have those times of May Day, remember, the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, is our refuge. God bless you and go in peace.